Well, thanks for hanging out so long, for experiencing that lengthy sermon via live stream today. We wanted to wrap our time up today just to kind of give you an idea of how we're thinking, what we're thinking as elders here in the leadership team. We got together over this past week a handful of times. We tried our best to sort through the ton of notes that and information that was coming our way regarding the COVID-19 crisis that's affected the entire world. We've spent a lot of time reading reports, trying to weed through any potential hysteria, listening to the experts in the appropriate fields, being super, super thankful for Governor DeWine and super thankful for Amy Acton. Listening to them is a calming influence from a perspective that isn't what we were talking about today, but nonetheless, practical, pragmatic things to do and how to be careful and mindful and very thankful for our government. We want to acknowledge up front that we are not medical experts. I mean, you know that. We're probably not experts at anything. We're not experts specifically in how viruses spread, nor do we fully understand what the appropriate response to a global pandemic should be. We're pastors, and we're entrusted to shepherd and care for this local church by God, to shepherd and care for the church which he obtained by his own blood. We get our orders from the Bible on how to care and shepherd for the local church. And so when a global health crisis overtakes the world, we do try to understand these events from a biblical perspective. We see that God is sovereign over these events, and there's no need for us to fear, but we are also thankful for God's common grace in giving us people like Governor DeWine and Amy Acton, medical experts to help us navigate on how best to take action in light of the unprecedented events that we've experienced this past week and are seemingly sure to be encountering in these next weeks as well. When all this began to unravel this week, initially we had asked a few members of our congregation to be part of the conversation of helping us as elders understand and process through this information. I personally have been in conversation with Paula Sanders and Colin Sprague and Chris Lawrence. They've helped us by providing us wise counsel from both an administrative kind of perspective to a medical field perspective on how to best apply the recommendations of our government and healthcare officials in our local church context. We are not really necessarily even mindful of what other churches are doing, although that informs us secondarily so. But primarily, we are to shepherd the flock of God that is among us. I'm sure that there are a variety of opinions that we all have on the severity of the situation locally, and including how we should respond as a church. I want to ask you to have grace towards us as you have. We have no thoughts that it would be otherwise. Patience and understanding with one another as well. This is really an unprecedented thing that's going on in our lifetimes. We're all learning as we go. At the same time, we want to urge you to seriousness, sobriety, prudence. We want you as members, specifically regular attenders, visitors of this local church, or whoever's listening today, to take heed the advice of our government, no matter if you think it's ridiculous or not, to take heed of our government and healthcare officials. And just to recap the events of this past week, just to kind of keep it together here for a moment, our president and the governor of Ohio and the mayor of Dayton have declared a state of emergency due to the COVID-19 crisis. That's a big deal. In Ohio, schools have been closed for 3 weeks, and gatherings of more than 100 persons have been banned. Now, again, we were free to meet because we're a religious organization, and they can't tell us what not to do, but they can highly encourage us to not meet, which is why we're not meeting. The number of positive cases of COVID-19 in Ohio have gone up from 1 on Monday to 26 as of yesterday, and who knows what it is today and what it'll be on Tuesday or Thursday. Evidently, according to yesterday's conference online with Amy Acton and the governor, that we're approaching this curve now. upwards. I've been told that those who are elderly, as well as those with prior, and I will say this about elderly. Obviously, elderly is elderly, but like each of us, depending on how old you are, like you're 20, you think 40 is elderly. It's not elderly. 50 is approaching. 60, 70, 80, it just keeps getting more intense of a situation for us. So the older you get, the more intense, especially when you're past 50, evidently. Again, we're not experts, but that's what we've been told. We've been told that it's much more contagious than the flu and almost 20 more times as deadly. We've been told that while the risk of serious health problems are low for most people, the possibility of asymptomatic carriers spreading the virus is very likely. What this means is that you and I could be carrying this virus without showing any symptoms at all. We don't even know we have it. And yet, spending time together, we are passing it off to one another. You might, evidently, from what Amy Acton said yesterday, is you might be walking around with it, and you might not show any of this asymptomatic, you might not have any symptoms whatsoever, and you end up getting rid of it, your body looks after it and takes care of it, you don't know you had it, you don't know when you got rid of it, but you passed it on to somebody else because you spent time with people and didn't take care to listen to our health directors and government. This is why we've urged by government officials to have that social distancing thing going on, 6 feet of separation between people, just some space between people. You know me, I like to be close to people. It's probably the main reason why you're not here today is because I'd be tempted to hug everybody. We like proximity, most of us, except for Rick Kensinger and a couple of others. Given this reality, the elders, leadership team, as well as key members in the congregation, we've been praying, we've been reading God's word to help us understand how to best respond to these events. Most importantly, we've decided to move all of our church gatherings on Sundays to this online format, not just for this week, but for the next 3 weeks. I want you to know that. We'll send an email out later on about this. There's additional impacts to church that Pastor Dan will address after this, but I want to walk through a couple of reasons of why we came to this decision. And 3 weeks is just like what we know now. It might be more. I doubt it'll be less, but who knows. First, we made this decision based on the recommendations of government and healthcare officials. We really want you to know that. People who have been placed in authority over us. We look to Romans 13, 1 through 7 for that. We don't believe that this is a situation where the government's trying to persecute us and tell us to not meet together. We believe that this is wisdom from God to protect us, to guard us, to keep us along the path of being a disciple. When experts in the field use words like containment and mitigation, phrases like keep away from one another, it means keep away from one another, protect people, stop community spread. Amy Acton was saying yesterday, do it now, like now is the time, do it now, so we must do it now. It rings loud in our minds as we want to care for one another, protect one another, not just ourselves. We're not thinking about ourselves here primarily, although it's right to think about ourselves. It's to think about others as well, and potentially what the outcome is for the others outside of the others, and how this happens. Second, we want to do our small part specifically, as what I just was speaking about, in loving our neighbor as ourselves. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. One of the ways that we express our love and submission to the Lord is by loving and caring for our neighbors, and that we'll get into this passage in just in a short couple of months. But our neighbor is not just our next door neighbor, right? It's each of us. It's our fellow man. By choosing to take heed to the wise and informed counsel of our leaders, and not ourselves inadvertently contributing to the potential spread of this sickness by assuming that we know better, it's hard to convey the reality of asymptomatic carriers that may be unknowingly spreading this disease. This is why social distancing, whether you agree with it or not, is being recommended as a means to mitigate the effects of the spread. And we want to encourage you so very highly to take heed to that. We obviously can't make you. We do not have that kind of authority. The government doesn't have that kind of authority either. But boy, we want to plead with you to listen to them. I do want to tell you that if it were the case that we were being told we couldn't meet on account of our faith being illegal, as it is in many countries, I would be much more in faith to meet or to, if we had to, break down into small groups somehow and meet together. This is not the case here. And I want to reaffirm with you that we take Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 seriously, have no desire at all to neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some. It's not our intention to make this habitual, although this crisis again might necessitate, well, it is necessitating at least 3 weeks of not meeting together regularly as we do here normally, but we are going to be doing it this way. When we gather together on Sunday mornings in one place, it is a uniquely powerful and wonderful moment. We're convinced that it's a command in Scripture that's meant entirely for our good and for our joy and for the glory of God. We also believe, like I've shared with you many times, that when we come together in one building, we mystically yet truthfully come to Mount Zion, as the author of Hebrews says. We come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enthroned in heaven, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we come to who? Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And friends, that's true over live stream as well. Now, the fact that we would meet here, but we're gathering in heaven, I mean, that's not to diminish our meeting here. It's really, really important. And so after 3 weeks, I want you back. But man, we come to the throne together across the miles, across technology. We come to a party, a festal gathering in heaven, looking to Jesus together, trusting in God together, depending on Him for everything by prayer and supplication together, ready to hear His word and respond to it rightly. I hope that meets with a sense of like knowing our hearts behind this and why we want to do this and a pleading nature as your pastors to take heed. Dan, would you come on up? Just before Dan shares, I want to share one last thing. We will have a temptation to fear and anxiety. Will I or someone I love get sick? Remember some of the things I was saying. God is our refuge and strength in times of trouble. In this world, we'll have trouble. He's our refuge and strength. Psalm 46. Meditate on that this week. Comfort the weak and faint-hearted with the promises of the gospel. We spoke about that. Where's your faith? Is it in you, your self-righteousness, your ability to handle things? Oh, may it not be. May your faith be in Jesus, His righteousness alone. We should not say to fearful people that you're overreacting. It's all going to be fine. You know, it might not all be fine. You don't know that. And maybe in their situation, it's totally not fine. We want to care for them. There's a temptation to self-preservation where you kind of all you care about is yourself. And instead of hoarding at the stores, which can keep those who need things from getting it, be wise and get what you need to prepare for the days ahead. I mean, whatever you can get, you know, I mean, it's obviously the shelves are mostly empty. If you need something, please let me know. Let us know. There's a temptation to dismissiveness, that everything's going to be fine or you'll be fine. And that looks like not taking the recommendations of government officials seriously and not being mindful of community spread. And I've already mentioned a bunch about that. I encourage you not to yield to that temptation to dismissiveness. We want to encourage you to selflessness, wanting to care for others, to take the recommendations of the government seriously and to care for others as much as you possibly can via text. I mean, if my neighbors are having an issue, I've already communicated with both sides in particular. If they're having issues, we're in communication with each other. I will walk over there and care for them if the situation arises. But for the time being, we're not going to have dinner with them. And for the time being, we're not going to have dinner with you. We will wait for a few days, a few weeks from now to see, and we look forward to the days where we can return to normalcy. Care for the others around us who are in need, those who might be fearful or anxious. Care for your family by modeling dependence on God, not dismissiveness. Dependence on God. Trust in His word, not trust in yourself. Trust in His promises, not in your own ability to think through anything positively. Which the word is a lamp unto our feet and a guide to our path. It's an uncertain time that we live in, but our God is certain. And look for opportunities to share the gospel with others, as I mentioned this morning in this passage. So Dan, do you want to come up?
Well, I just wanted to quickly go over some changes that will be coming in our church life over the next few weeks, just so we are on the same page. We're going to provide all this information via an email here later this day. But as Steve mentioned, Sunday morning gatherings are going to be moving to an online format over the next 3 weeks. Our current plan is to gather back together in the church building on April 5th, but that is totally dependent on how things progress and unfold over the next few weeks. As far as community groups, those have also been canceled. As Steve mentioned, we have been encouraged repeatedly by government and health officials to employ social distancing. And if you are a disciple of Christ, that should feel wrong, and it should feel very bad to you. And we're so glad that it does. It goes against our instincts as humans, and especially as disciples of Christ, to obey the one another commands. Nevertheless, unless absolutely necessary for caring for others, we would just ask that to highly dissuade you from gathering in groups of any size where you cannot keep that six foot rule that has been recommended by our healthcare officials. As far as meetings that are going on throughout the week, we have gotten a subscription to Zoom, and we can provide you information on that. If you can talk to me or Steve, and we can make that available to any smaller group of people or community group, DNA groups, discipleship groups that would like to meet digitally. There is a really good format via Zoom to do that. But we just want to ask you just take heed of what's being told that should be by the government and healthcare officials. Well, specifically as it relates to Zoom meetings, new members' classes are going to continue over the next few weeks. Steve's going to be in contact with you if you've been coming to those via Zoom. That'll be moving to a Zoom format. Deacon training will also be on Zoom, and we are going to postpone the deacon installation, which was planned for next week, unfortunately, for sometime in April. And we really hope that we can have a date where we can rejoice together in that. If you have any needs in the church, the deacons, deacon candidates currently, and pastors are able to help members in need. So if you need help over the next few weeks getting groceries, essentials, if you're running out of things, if you're sick or quarantined, whatever happens, we really want to be here to serve you. Church office hours. We are not going to have any church office hours at the church building over the next 3 weeks, but if you want to get a hold of Steve, Kale, or Don, they will be available via phone or email. But there will be no formal gatherings in the church, at least until the end of March, possibly longer. Let me just end with this encouragement to you. You guys, I'm sure everyone's reading a ton of things online, but I found this encouraging by a quote by Martin Luther when a plague had struck the city that he was ministering in Wittenberg. And the other pastors asked him what they should do in light of this plague, very similar to what's happening to us today. And he says this, "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed, in order not to become contaminated and thus perhaps inflict and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, that I have done what he has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above." What a wonderful encouragement, church. Let me just end with our benediction from Psalm 90. In the light of things going on today, in 90 verse 12, it tells us, "O Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may have a heart of wisdom. Oh God, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to your children. Now this, let the favor of our Lord God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands here in Sovereign Grace Church, Dayton. Thank you.